Is that still on? Okay, I thought maybe I bumped the mic. I've been thinking with you out of Matthew chapter 5. It's amazing that you can take God's Word and share it and keep on studying and learning and go back through and learn some more. So I want to go back to think about some principles today that help us in practicing and carrying out God's Word. So I find the outline because the references that I'll be reading are all on your outline. I think it'd be helpful for you to do so. In this whole passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking about a heart attitude, which I'll talk about as we go. He takes the law and God's Word and God's teaching, and he adds a deeper dimension to it. We've talked about that before. Somebody commented the other day, and I was thinking about as I read, that Jesus wrote the Scriptures. So when he's interpreting Scripture, he just tells me what he meant when he wrote it. I hadn't thought about it in those terms before. So when he said, I came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it, he's saying, I came to fulfill what I already gave you. And so he is giving us those instructions and what he meant by what he said. So I want to think about some principles that will help us in the next section of Scripture, because we're going to be looking at a number of places in the next period of time where Jesus said, you've heard it said, and he says, but I say. And those will be coming up in the weeks to come. I want to think about some principles that I feel like will help us today. I admit I borrowed some of these from a study book I have, but that's I remember Rick Warren said, when there's better sermons written, I'll preach them. So I guess if I find some ideas that might be helpful out of a book on Sermon on the Mount by Martin Lloyd Jones, some of these principles seemed, I thought, to be helpful for us as we proceed through this section of Scripture. So, principles that will help me in obeying God's Word and carrying out God's law. I'll look at five of those today. The first one is, obey the Spirit of God's Word. Obey the Spirit of God's Word. Jesus, in this section of Scripture, talks about the attitude, the heart, which and the spirit of the truth of what he's sharing. So I want to think about, one of the principles is, I want to look at the spirit of what God said. What's behind what he was saying? Notice the Scripture passage says, not that we're adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In this passage of Scripture, he talked about our sufficiency being from God, and we acknowledge that. But he went on to say, it's not of the letter, but of the Spirit. What do you mean by talking about of the Spirit? The letter means I do it because it's obligation to do so. It may be a set of routine things that I do, or a ritual that I must go through, or I feel like I've got to go through. But there's no heart in it. There is no life in it. So when you talk about the Spirit of God's Word, I think he's talking about, what did God intend for us to get out of that? Why did he give us that in the first place? For instance, why did he say, which we're going to be coming to later, why did he say don't murder somebody? Is he talking about just not murder? Is he talking about attitudes toward people? Is he talking about relationships to others? The spirit behind that. When he talked about other areas of Scripture, he's talking about the spirit, the idea behind it, the purpose, the intent. And so I want to look at, what did God want me to do? Why did he give that to me? What's he want me to understand? What's he want me to know? So as I look at these Scriptures, I look at the spirit behind it. I'm not here to just keep the routine, not just to do the ritual part, but to find out why. For instance, we're instructed in Scripture and encouraged in Scripture to come to God's house for worship. What's the spirit behind that? Is that just saying, okay, I get up on Sunday, I got to go to God's house, so I'll go? know, I'm expected to go as a Christian. Or is it, why did he give us that? What's the intent behind that instruction in God's Word to be in His house for worship? He wants us to meet with Him. He wants us to grow. He wants us to learn. He wants us to be challenged. He wants us to discover truth. He wants us to meet other people. He wants us to encourage. So there's a whole lot more. The spirit of that instruction is more than just getting up and saying, I got to do it. It's the attitude of coming to meet with God and to meet with His people. And so I'm going to look at the spirit when I look through Scripture. What did God intend in this? And how can I live that out, not worry about just keeping the letter? You know that it's possible to do the letter and not have the Spirit in it. And that's not what He wants. Now, some people say, well, if you can't do the right thing, just don't do it at all. I don't think that's good. Some people say, well, if I can't go to worship with the right spirit, I just won't go at all. Well, how are you going to change your attitude if you don't get involved in worship? I mean, quitting isn't going to get it done. It's asking God to change the attitude of the heart. So I think the spirit probably has to do with attitude as much as anything else. So part of worship, a part of doing what God says, obeying the spiritual truths of God's word, is looking at and saying, God, am I doing it by the spirit or am I doing it by the letter? Now, I would have to confess that there are times I get slipped into doing it by the letter. And I need to admit that. And say, God, change this in my heart. Help me to, whatever activity I'm doing, whatever Christian principle I'm following, say, God, change it so I'm doing it in the Spirit, not in the letter. Now, the devil's going to say to you, well, you're doing it by the letter, and that's really not right, so just quit. No, you say, God, change it. Besides, we talk about the Spirit of God's Word. Who is there available, if you're a believer, to help you understand what Scripture means? So when you talk about the spirit of things, he's talking about the ministry of God's Holy Spirit to interpret and to bring alive the Word of God. Notice in that passage I read said the Spirit gives life. That you take the truths of God and the principles of God there and say, God, help me to get the message that you want me to get out of this, to bring it to life. It's interesting that all other books, when you read them, you can read words and they just sort of mean words. They just sort of whatever. But do you find that when you read this book and you study this book, that all of a sudden these words take on life? They begin to speak to you. They begin to talk to you. They begin to show you new insights and understanding. And then you find God talking to your heart out of it. That's when I talk about the Spirit, I think we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit to a willing heart to say, God, help me get what you want me to get. To see what you want me to see out of this particular principle. So obey the spirit of God's word, not just the letter. The letter, I believe, if the spirit's right, the letter's going to follow. If my spirit's right with God, I won't kill anybody. I'll treat them with respect. If my spirit's right, I want to be in worship. If my spirit's right, I want to be kind. If my spirit's right with God's spirit, then the living out the letter part is going to come easily and more naturally. Not always easy, perhaps, but at least it's going to be there. He's going to be there to help you. So the first principle is obey the Spirit. Look at the Spirit of the Word and of what God says more than the letter. Secondly, obey God's Word with my heart. Obey God's Word with my heart. Now, I recognize that the things I'm going to be talking about sort of interrelate. So if I sound like I'm repeating myself, I guess I am. But I think these are important principles. Second one is, obey God's word with my heart. And this is related to the spirit idea. Scripture says, but thanks be to God, though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You became obedient from the heart. I think that comes about when I understand who Jesus is and what He's done for me. It's a willingness to say, God, change my inner attitude that affects my outer attitude. He says, you became obedient from the heart to what you've received, to the truth of Scripture. You became slaves of righteousness. Now, we don't like to think about being slaves, but are we really servants of something? or better yet, someone? Are we not slaves of somebody? Either God or the devil, bottom line is. So I'd rather be slaves of righteousness. But I want to be a heart issue. When Jesus talked about these things that I'm talking about, the spirit and heart go together, I think we'd say, it's something within me that I find out that I have a new relationship. I have a desire to do. Let me read the other passage that's on your notes. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. The heart, to me, comes out of the love of Christ. Notice what the scripture says. The love of Christ does what? Compels, controls, directs. Different translations use a different word there. But when I think about what he has done, when I really, really meditate on who Christ is and what Jesus did when he left heaven and came to this earth, we've heard it so much, I think, the coming of Jesus and the birth of Jesus and the life of Jesus, that sometimes I'm fearful that it becomes routine or casual. I need to remember, it cost Jesus everything to come here. The love of Christ is expressed in the fact that he left heaven and came down here to earth and to live as us and gave up all of his divinity. He was still divine, but gave up all his privileges, a better way of saying it, so that we might know him. Did he die for himself or for us? It's for our benefit. I still, and I've commented a number of times, probably will again, it's amazing that God loves us enough that he wants us. That he really wanted us so badly that he let his son, actually not only let him, he sent his son to die on the cross and let him die for us, for our sins, so that we could be saved, so we'd be born again and transformed by the grace of God. And God loved us enough to do that. Now, when I think about that, I meditate on that, I let that sink into my being, I want to do whatever he wants me to do. The more I think about what he's done, not only in the sense of dying on the cross and resurrection and the things he's done, but has he done anything in your life since you got saved? Has he done anything to you since you came initially to Jesus? Has he in love forgiven you more than once? Has he guided you? Has he taken care of you? Has he provided for you? Has he given you new insights in Scripture? Has he shown you new truths from him over and over again? And in that love, he keeps on adding to our life. And when I think about that, my heart should say, if that's what you want, Lord, I'll do it. See, when I talk about a heart issue, it comes to be not because it's out here, but because it's in here. Because Jesus now lives inside us, the love of Christ compels us, and we want to do what he said. We want to be conformed to his image because it's in our heart to do so. I realize spirit and heart are similar thoughts, but when I do things, I want to do it because I want to do it. Because God's Spirit helps me to want to do it. Because he's asking me to do it. I believe it needs to come to the place when I read God's Word and God says, do it, the first thing I say is, okay, God, let me do it. Help me do it. Now, sometimes we wrestle with Scripture. Sometimes we read truths and we say, I don't know about that one, Lord. And we have to wrestle with it. But isn't he patient with us even then? To show us, to keep on... Has God ever showed you anything more than once? Has he ever pointed out something in you, and you're trying, and he keeps on dealing with us until we get it, and then we start doing it? To me, that's a heart issue. I want to obey God's Word from the heart. So when I read it, I realize Jesus loves me, God loves me, and he gave all this in the Scriptures because he loves me. So if he gave it to him because he loves me, I want to do it. I want it to become real in my life. I think we've all discovered that when we want to do it, sometimes we have to learn to do it. It doesn't always happen overnight or immediately. Some of the things, the principles in God's Word, we have to practice, and God helps us keep on till we get it, and I'm glad he does. So, second principle is, I want to obey, deal with God's Word from the heart issue. And if I'm not doing it from the heart, I want God to change my heart so that I'm in line with what he says. A third area, these are interrelated, but I still want to think about it. Delight in obeying God's Word. Delight in obeying God's Word. These are principles. So it's not a matter of duty, but a matter of delight. It's not a negative, don't do it. It's a positive that says, yes, I get to do it. Notice what the scripture I listed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. And I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. I delight in your commandments. God, I'm having fun getting to find out what you want me to do. I want to know what you've got. I delight in them. They're a pleasant part of my life. They're a delight in my life. The other scripture says, how blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. Delight in obeying and understanding God's Word. So what that says to me is, which many of you have already committed yourself to do this year, either read through scripture or read the Bible every day in some way, or you're involved in Bible study or whatever. Now, that becomes, I look forward to doing it. To delight in God's Word is not something negative that I've got to do. It is something I get to do. I delight in finding out what God has to say to me. I think you find that when you open the book and start reading, does God have anything to say to you personally? Besides what's the words on the page, but does he have anything to say to you out of the words on the page? Do you want to hear him? Do you like to hear God talk to you and tell you the truth about his word? And so that we're saying, God, I recognize that I delight in doing your word. I delight in your law. I delight in what you're saying. So I meditate on it. I think on it. I bring it into my life because I delight in your word. I have to answer this question for myself. Do I really delight in God's Word? Do you really delight in His Word? Or do you just find it, well, I've got to read it because I'm supposed to? Do I go to worship because I got to or because I want to? Do I delight in what God says? And I pray that God will stir our hearts together, that when it comes, I delight in obeying God's Word. When I find out that's what He wants, that's what I say, let's do it. The good news is, when you say, let's do it, He doesn't ask you to do it by yourself, does He? He said, I'll help you do what I'm asking you to do. If you'll trust me and talk to me and pray to me, I'll help you live out that kind of life. Now, when you obey God's Word, what kind of life do you get when you obey it? What's the result of that? Did anything good come out of that? Anything helpful? Any kind of life that's more enjoyable because you're in the Word and you're trying to live it out? Absolutely. We'll refer to more of that in a moment. But I want to delight in what God does through His Word. So my prayer is that I as an individual, and you as an individual, will begin to say, God, I really enjoy. I look forward to opening your word. I look forward to hearing what you got to say to me. I want to understand that. I delight in hearing you and then doing what you said. Now, when he tells us to do some things, is it easy always? No. But is it good? Is his instruction always good for us as an individual? Always? Every time? Yes, it is. I need you to remember that. Not easy, I understand that. Difficult sometimes to do. But I delight in obeying God's Word. So my prayer is that God will help us. So when Jesus talked about these things in the Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, I want you to, exceeding that of the scribes and the Pharisees, I want you to delight in that. So on the other side of your notes, another area is, obey God's Word because I want my spiritual life to grow. Obey God's Word because I want my spiritual life to grow. I think we'll agree that when you get saved, you come to Jesus and start living for Him, you're not full grown. You got a thing or two to learn after you initially come to Christ as Savior. Anybody agree with that? So I want to keep growing. I want to keep maturing. What is our goal? What measure do I have as far as maturity of life? What standard do I adopt, or at least the God's Word gives me, that I can say, this is where I want to be? You look around and say, oh, there's so-and-so. I want to be like him. I want to be like her. I want to be like... Is that our standard? Or do you look at Billy Graham or Charles Stanley or someone and say, that's what I want to be like? What's our standard? The measure of the fullness of Jesus. And when I put my life up beside His, I think He's way up here and I've got somewhere down in here maybe, and I want to grow a little bit more like Him and become more like Him. My spiritual life to grow. The first scripture passage under that says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. Jesus said that. The words I've spoken to you are Spirit and life. The other scripture passage says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the Word, so that you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Now, if I'm to grow in God's Word, if I'm to grow in my spiritual life, how do I grow? What do I need to do to grow? Is just reading Scripture or being in a Bible study class enough? That's important, but is that enough? Do I not need to take those things that I learn in those Bible study classes and in my personal Bible study and in the messages that I hear and find something that God says, you can do this, and I start doing it in my life and I grow in my relationship to Jesus? See, I obey God's Word because I want to become more like Jesus. I want to become a more mature Christian. And the only way I'm going to do that is take the food of the Word and put it into my soul and into my life and begin to practice it. So in so doing, I grow and I develop. And we all agree, I think, how long is it going to take you to reach the maturity level? Never going to happen in this lifetime. But it's worth trying for, isn't it? Because when I put those nourishment truths of God's Word into my life and practice them, do I grow? Do I become stronger? Do I know how to deal with problems in a better way? Do I deal with issues differently? Do I deal with relationships differently? Because I'm putting those truths into my heart and life. And so I practice God's Word because I want my spiritual life to grow. I don't want to stay an immature Christian. I want to be growing in the Lord, learning, developing, practicing the truths of God's Word. In fact, in one scripture passage, which I didn't put in your notes, he criticizes them, and I think it's in Hebrews, which says, you ought to be eating meat, but you're still on milk because you haven't learned to practice the Word. So I put those into my life because I want my spiritual life to grow. I want to become a more like Jesus every day. Is that possible? Is it possible for me and you to take some step, learn some new truths, practice something that moves me at least a little bit closer to being like Christ? I believe it is. I want to obey His Word. That I'll grow in respect to salvation. Because I've tasted the kindness of the Lord, and when I taste the kindness of the Lord, I say, I like that. I think I want some more. When we look at how good God has been and how gracious He's been, we want more. We want to grow. So I obey God's Word because I want my spiritual life to grow. I want to become a better child of God than I've ever been before. The last thing under notes, obey God's Word because I want to improve my relationship with God. That is, I want to know Him. Now, is there a difference between knowing Him and knowing about Him? Do you know anything about President Obama? I'm not asking if you're positive or negative, I'm saying, do you know him? Do you know about, but do you know him? Most of us don't. Can you do the same with God? Can you know about God and still not know him? Not experience him? See, when I obey him, I get to improve my relationship with him. The scripture passage says, "But this we know, we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments." The one who says, "I've come to know him," and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth of God is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. When I take the truths of God's word and practice them, does it improve my relationship with the God the Father, with the Lord Jesus? I get closer connected to him, more fully connected, more strongly connected. And I want that. I want to improve my relationship to Jesus and to the living God. So I take his word and I begin to say, "Lord, because I love you and I want to know you better, I want to be involved with you more, I want my relationship to you to deepen and to grow." Have you ever noticed there are people around you sometimes who just seem to have such a wonderful walk with Jesus? And you wish you had that too? Can you have that too? Is that walk available to every Christian who is willing to take time in the Word and apply it? Is he available to you, want to get to know you? You see, if they're enjoying the walk with Jesus because they've been spending time with him, been praying, they've been putting into practice, they've been growing themselves. So if they do it, guess what? You can too. You can too. So the principle of God's Word is, I want to get study it and read it and prepare it, all those things, because I want my relationship to God to grow. So these are principles I think that will help me when I approach God's Word. I want to check out my spirit. What's the spirit of it? Is my heart involved? Am I delighting in it or am I just doing it? Do I want to grow? Do I want to know Him? These are some principles I hope that you'll think about in the next while, as you study Scripture yourself and as we talk about them here. Where am I? Am I doing just the letter? Or am I doing it by the Spirit? Am I doing it because I delight in it? Or am I doing it because I'm obligated to do it? Where am I? You know who is the only one that can answer that for you? It's you. I can't answer it for you. Nobody else can answer it for you. You say, "Lord, how am I doing? Are there places I need to grow? Is it all right to admit that I need to grow in some of those? Is it all right to admit that, Lord, this needs to be changed in my life?" You see, the devil doesn't want you to admit you need any change because it keeps you bogged down. But when you admit, "Lord, I need some help," when you come to God for help, does he help you? When you admit you need forgiveness, does he forgive you? When you admit you're struggling with something, will he help you with it? Sure he will. And so we come and say, "God, I need your help." Because the good news is, he said, "I didn't ask you to live the Christian life all by yourself. I'll help you live it. I'll be there for you every day, 24/7, and I'll help you." So as we think about these principles, I pray that you might think about them. And one of the things I encourage you to do is take all this stuff home and read it for yourself. Check out, did Pastor Gene tell me the truth or not? Now, some of you think I'm teasing. I'm not teasing. I mean it with all my heart. You need to search the Scriptures for yourself. Anytime you take one person's opinion just because they said it, you're in trouble. Because you need to go back and say, "Did he tell me the truth? Or is that, did he misstate Scripture?" Now, I'll never tell you anything intentionally wrong. But you need to check it out. And then say, "God, help me to apply these principles to my life." Because the more I take home with me, the better I will grow. That's why I encourage you to take notes. I encourage you to write some things down. Because I find I'll go home and say, "What was that they said? God said something." And he sort of has a way of disappearing out of my mind. But if I've written down a note, I can go back, "Oh, yeah, that's what it was. I remember what he said. Or I remember what God said." I pray that as we go through these services, God says something to you that I didn't say. Can that happen? He's the one you want to hear from. Hopefully, what we do will help do that, but you want to hear from Him. So my prayer is that you take these and study them and say, God, help me to approach Your Word, Your law, Your truth with these principles. Now, if you don't know Jesus, guess what? None of this is going to work. Without God living in your heart through faith in Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it. Because the Bible says spiritual things are spiritually discerned, and the human mind and human heart, apart from the Spirit of God, cannot comprehend it. So if you don't know Jesus, you need to start and say, Jesus, I don't know You, but I want to know You. Would You forgive me? I believe You died for me on the cross. You rose again. And I want You to come and take over my life. I don't like where I am. I want You to forgive me. Come and take over. And good news is He said He will. And He has for many people. So my prayer is if you don't know Him, you will ask Him this day to come and live inside you and begin a journey with Him. As a Christian, say, God, help me grow. Help me to learn Your Word. Love it. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank You that You have given us Your Word, and we have it in such abundance. You've given us the Bible over and over again, and Lord, help us to search our own hearts. More than that, I guess, You search my heart and each of our hearts, because You see inside us, and You see us in our fullest extent more than we see ourselves. So God, where there needs to be changes, would You reveal